Sort of like when we preach, we need some warm bodies sitting out there. Give us a little bit of help. Amen. Hold your Bibles up to Deuteronomy, the 4th chapter. I'll start there this morning. We're talking on discipline and we're talking on raising children. And I found out a long time ago that the Bible has the answer for every real problem we need. It has all things we need for life and godliness. So if we use our head in life and godliness, we're going to have to go to the book to find out what it has to say. It'll teach us how to treat our fellow man. It'll teach us how we need to serve the Lord. It'll teach us how we ought to raise our children. It'll teach us what kind of marriage we ought to build. It'll teach us a whole lot of things besides salvation. In fact, the book was actually written for you. It was written for believers. By the grace of God, there's an awful lot of message of salvation in there, and people can read it and find the Lord Jesus Christ. But it's written to believers, for believers. And so, let's see what it has to say. I want to start out with Deuteronomy 4 and verse 7. For what nation is there so great who hath God so nigh unto them as the Lord our God is in all things that we call upon him for? What nation is there so great that hath statutes and judgments so righteous as all this law which I set before you this day? Only take heed to thyself, keep thy soul diligently, lest thou forget the things which thine eyes have seen, lest they depart from thy heart all the days of thy life, but teach them thy sons, and thy son's son. Let's pray. Father, we pray that we would not forget the things that we have seen and heard. We pray, dear Lord, we'd teach them not only to our sons, but to our son's son. I pray, dear God, you'd make good parents out of us. I pray, Lord, you'd give us good families. I pray, dear Lord, we'd raise up children that would follow you, would serve you, that would be usable in your hands. I pray, dear Father, that you would bless this meeting today. Give me freedom and ease and power to speak that only your Spirit can give. And I pray, dear Lord, you'd suit a blessing individual to each need here today. I ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. I think about this again as I think about what our purpose is and why we're here. We're one generation away from atheism. You can look around at some of the backslidden nations in the world today that used to be great centers of evangelism, used to be a place that could reach out and carry the gospel, sent their money around the world, won their people right and left to the Lord Jesus Christ, and now in their mission fields themselves. Somebody, some generation, somewhere down the line failed to win their children. Somewhere some parents let down. Somewhere some Christians let down. Somewhere they got into a social gospel rather than a preaching gospel. And that's the real error. And I'm thankful for everybody that puts shoes on people's feet. I'm thankful everybody puts food in their stomach. But I want you to understand, you can put shoes on their feet and they can still go to hell. You can put food in their bellies and they'll still die and go to hell. The number one thing that we need to always keep in our mind, we must be preachers and teachers of the Word of God. Amen. We must be preachers of the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. Without that, you are one generation away from atheism. And you may be saved and see your sons and your grandsons split hell wide open. God help us if that does not happen in our generation. It has happened to others. God help us it doesn't happen to us. Now, raising a family and being a good father or a good mother is not an easy job. In fact, it's a 24-hour day of job. Oh, we want these little babies. Oh, they're so sweet. They're so lovely. They're so much fun. They're this little angel. And then when they get a little bit bigger, you say, I can't control this little thing. And oh, it's got a will of its own, and it's not good. And you think, well, I'll just give up. And a lot of people do. And we've seen the results of people giving up all around us today. The results of people giving up. You don't give up. You don't give up. I don't care if they're 16 years old and in deep trouble. You don't give up. If they're 4 years old and it's fall rotten and you've already wasted 3 good years, you don't give up. You have responsibility before the Lord God Almighty that you not only remember your heritage, what kind of heritage you have. You've been saved by the blood of Jesus Christ. You've had the living Word of God placed in your hands right here. You've got a guide for this life. You don't give up. You raise your children. I know we all would like to have life easy. I wish everybody had it as easy as I did. Some people might not think I've had it easy. And in some days, I didn't think I was having it easy either. There's a few days I got up and I said, why me, Lord? I've heard of people sing a song like that. Why me, Lord? Because I don't like the song. The song is a selfish crybaby attitude. Why me? Why not you? You ever figured that one out? Won't you turn that thing around? Why this great tragedy happened to me? Hey, turkey. Why don't you look around and God say, God, you gave it to me. I want to thank you for it. How about acting in faith? Instead of acting like, poor me, I got a rock on my toe. Please, somebody come feel sorry for me. How do you treat your kids when they act like that? Well, you spank the little bottom and say, thank God you got a lawn to mow. Get out there and do it. Amen? Well, God's giving you a lawn to mow. Maybe God's giving you a junk to drive to give you some patience. Maybe God's giving you a church that won't get built so you can learn some patience. Amen? Praise God. You learn to praise God in everything, my friend, you'll be a conqueror. Everything comes your way, and you'll be an example to your children. But if your children see you forgetting God, they're going to forget God too. If he doesn't mean much to you, I guarantee he's not going to mean much to them. Oh, what nation is so great? What people are so great? What people have such a word in their hands as you and I have? What people have God so nigh unto them? My, you better teach it to your sons, to your son's sons. Let's go to Proverbs. Look at Proverbs, the 19th chapter. There's a lot of practical advice in the book of Proverbs, and I'm going to hit on it today. I said I was going to try to finish this before Sundays, and I'm going to try. That means I got a big load to carry today. But at any rate, I want you to see something here. Chase my son while there is hope. Now, I gave these first two verses at the end of last Sunday's lesson, but I'm going to start off with them again today. Proverbs 19:18. Chasten thy son while there is hope, and let not thy soul spare for his crime. Listen to me, friend. You do have an opportunity to change that little boy's character. You got an opportunity to change that little girl's character. You let her go too far, you don't have any opportunity to change it then. Then it's going to have to be God coming down and whipping. It's going to have to be society coming down and taking care of them. It's going to be somebody else because they're too big. They're out of your house. They're gone. They're going to do their own thing. They're legally their own, and not much you can do about it. You're just going to sit back and suffer with the consequences of whatever comes their way. You say, well, it's their life. Baloney, it touches you. Wherever they go, whatever they do touches you. You can cry with them all their life. You can brag on them all their life, but you're never going to get rid of them. You can even say you get rid of them, but you won't get rid of them. They'll be in your mind, they'll be in your heart. While there's hope! Let me just tell you, practically speaking, if you're bigger than him, there's hope. Amen? Amen. That's why God made big people big and children little. Some of you haven't got the brains God gave a cauliflower. Honest truth. I had a lady tell me one time, she saw me spank Eddie in a restaurant. We were in a restaurant, Big Springs, La Mesa, Texas, I forgot where it was. And Eddie was stubborn. He was a little fellow. And I picked him up, spat at his bottom, set him down, told him to cry quiet and eat. Ooh, this lady came over. You're going to give me the wherewithal. She said, I saw you beat that boy. I didn't beat that boy. I slapped him on the butt 3 times. That's not beating as far as I'm concerned. She said, I saw you beat that boy. Let me tell you what I did this morning. She said, my daughter is 16 years old. And said, this morning she came into me. We're getting ready to come to church. She came into me and she said, I don't have anything to wear. And I said, oh, honey, you have lots to wear. You have a closet full of things. No, I don't have anything to wear. She started throwing a fit. I said, honey, come on into your room and I'll show you what you've got to wear. I said, I had ironed all these clothes for her the day before. And she pulled out, well, I've got this. And so her daughter took it and threw it on the floor. She put, well, honey, you have this. And her daughter took it and threw it on the floor. She told me her daughter threw 16 dresses on the floor. She said, I picked one of them up and I handed it out, honey, you wear this one. She said, what would you have done? I said, I'd have beat her bottom since she couldn't sit down and pull me. And then I'd have told her she irons all her own clothes from here on in. What are you doing ironing a 16-year-old's clothes in the first place? What I don't know. Don't tell me how to raise kids, lady. You don't even know yourself. You can't raise one daughter. How in the world are you going to tell me how to raise my son? Some people do not have any common sense whatsoever. They're crippled from the neck up. Now, I hope that's not your case. Some of you have been sniffing spray starch, your brain stiff. I mean, boy, there's something wrong up there. The Bible says, train up a child the way he should go when he's old and not depart from it. You see, that's what some people think about raising children. I believe the Bible's got a much better piece of advice. It's just good, practical, old, sound advice. I don't care if this generation has gone absolutely crazy after the psychologists and Dr. Spock of this world. Even Dr. Spock has recanted and changed his mind. There are psychologists and psychiatrists today saying we've made a mistake for the last 20 or 30 years. That's not the majority of them, but praise God, there's a few of them waking up. Chasten thy son while there is hope. As long as there is hope, you just keep doing your best. And while you have him as your son, while he's still in your house, while he's still under your control, while you still control the purse string, you got lots of things you can control them with. When they're little, you can spank their bottom. When they get 13 or 14 or somewhere along in there, you're going to quit spanking their bottom. You're going to have to do something else. Well, then you can make them stay home. You can cut off their friends. I'll tell you what, when they get 16, you can take the car keys away from them. Oh, yeah. Yeah, well, Daddy, I bought the car. Yeah, but it's in my name. You can take the car away from them. You can tell them they can't do it. I remember one time I got a bad report from Billy, and Billy was a pretty big boy. He was at school. He'd be giving some science teacher a real hard time. He was mimicking her, making fun of her, you know, sarcastic as he is. Well, she sent me a notice, and Eddie tried to tell me, said, Daddy, but she's a mean old lady. And she, you know, I said, like, I don't care. I'm always on the teacher's side. I don't care if you got the meanest turkey that ever walked the face of the earth, and she's your teacher. You got to get along with her. She can't change for 180 kids, but 180 kids can conform to her for 1 hour a day. And you got to make it. Now, that's your tough luck. You drew that lot. That's your lot. You make it. So I got this notice from her, and so I took Billy on his spring break. He worked 8 hours a day, every day over his spring break. He washed every window in the house, inside and out. He washed the eaves under the house. He washed clothes. He mopped, vacuumed, and cleaned. I said, you keep that boy busy the entire spring break. I don't want him to have a break at all. And that dumb teacher, she was dumb. She told me I was too hard on my boy. While there's hope, you keep going at it. While you got any hope to control him, while you got any hope to change him. Remember when David's baby's dying? Long as there was life in that baby, David on his face crying, and before God, crying before God saved my baby's life. When the baby died, they were afraid to tell him. They walked in and he said, what's the matter? I see something's wrong. He said, well, we were afraid to tell you, but your baby's died. He got up, washed his face, went about his business. He said, what in the world's the matter? He said, while there was hope, I kept on praying. That's the way you need to be raising your children. As long as there's hope. As long as there's hope, you keep on chasing. As long as there's hope, you keep on training. As long as there's hope, you keep on telling over and over and over and over again. We are dense creatures, and our little ones are even denser. We have to be told over and over and over and over and over again. It's a lot told you once. That's not enough, Mama. I told you once. That's not enough, Daddy. I told you. That's not enough. You need to live before. Not enough to tell them. Some of you are such hypocrites. You say, you. But boy, when it comes to you, you can't cut them up for yourself. While there's hope, you chasing that child. Don't let your soul spare for his crying. Look over in the next chapter, chapter 22, verse 6. Train up a child in the way he should go. It's not enough just to be chased. You know, some people just know how to spank. Some people just know how to beat. They just know how to slap. That's not discipline. Do you understand me? Slapping and beating is in itself not discipline. It may be nothing but torture in some cases. Some of you don't have enough sense to train. Some of you, if we gave you the best dog in town, you'd ruin it inside of 3 weeks' time. Dog wouldn't be worth 2 cents because you got to have more sense than a dog to train one. First off, is your dog trained? Woo! 2 points for me. We'll see how well your dog's trained. They want to know how smart you are. The truth of the matter is, your discipline is not consistent. You're not consistent. You don't do the same thing every day. They can't trust you every week. They have no perimeters they know. It's your whim on a given day. One day you beat the daylights out of them. The next day you let them get away with it 3 or 4 times in a row. And then you wonder why your kids don't obey you. They don't know what to obey. It says train a child. Train up a child the way he should go. It didn't say beat the kid. It said train up a child the way he should go. You teach him. You show him how it's done. You do it over and you do it over and you do it over. You let them do it over. And make them do it. Make them do it. Reason why some of you can't change spark plugs in your car because your daddy did it for you all your life and you never did it. Reason why some of you can't do anything is because somebody always did it for you instead of making you go out there and do it. One of the best blessings you could have ever had was a daddy says, you're going to do it and I'll watch and make sure you get it done. Guy across the street from me is a pretty good mechanic. His daddy, when he got a car, went down and bought him a car manual for his car and said, here it is, fix it. He can fix about anything, man. You say, but all the pain and torture the poor little kid had to suffer. Yeah, he did, but he learned something, didn't he? Train up a child. Train him in the way he should go. You guide him that direction. You teach him what you want. You give him expectations. And you're consistent day in and day out, week in and week out. It's not a matter of whim. Not a matter of how you feel. I don't care how you feel. You get up and go to work. I don't care how you feel. You treat those customers right. I don't care how you feel. You know what you've got to do when it comes around your boss. Why don't you use that same consistency with those children? Plenty of kids out there, they're looking for some perimeters. They're looking for some guidelines. They're looking for somebody to say, this is wrong and here's why. And they've got a generation of situational ethics parents. The parents don't even know what's right. They've given up the Bible. They've given up morality. Anything goes in anybody's situation. Therefore, how in the world can they expect the kids? I know mothers who are sleeping around who tell their daughters not to. Same house, believe me. Now let me ask you something. What's that daughter going to do when she decides there's some boy she wants to sleep with? You figure it out. You just figure it out. You train up a child in the way he should go, and you got to be consistent in it, or you're going to be the loser, and he's going to be the loser. You lose, he loses. And when you lose and he loses, everybody loses. The Lord loses a person that could be controlled and used of God. You say, oh, no, God take anybody. Yes, God can sometimes take anybody by the grace of God. But isn't it amazing how he uses people with character? It's an amazing thing. He does. Take a look at the people you read about in this book here. If they've got a flaw in their character, it comes out. Man, and sometimes it's a disaster. You train up a child in the way he should go. When he's old, he'll not depart from it. You know, what a promise. Do you see a promise there? Train up that child in the way he should go. When he's old, he'll not depart from it. The Catholic Church used to say, give me your son till he's six, I'll give you a Catholic for the rest of your life. There's a whole lot of truth to that. There's a whole lot of truth to that. How are you raising you? What are you putting in their mind? Oh, you're putting it in there. You can fill it with garbage. You can let the television be their teacher. You can let the school be their teacher. You can let them follow your example. Or you can set your life by the Word of God and train them up in the way they should go. It says train them up when they're old and not depart from it. It's an amazing thing what is built into us as character. You better be careful if you train character into your children. Look at Proverbs 22:15. Foolishness is bound in the heart of a child, but the rod of correction shall drive it far from him. Now I want you to notice that is a very clear statement. I believe that statement with all my heart. One of the reasons why I'm making it a school teacher as well as I do is because I believe foolishness is bound in the heart of a child. I don't expect 8th grade kids to act like college seniors. I don't expect it. I give them the expectations I want. I set down certain rules. I set down certain punishments. And generally, I don't break them. I make them toe the line. But do I get all upset and scream and holler and mad and think I'm going to cry because some kid didn't do what I wanted him to do or let him make me lose my job? Yeah, out of your mind. He's a kid. So he's going to make mistakes. He's a kid, so he's going to be rebellious. He's a kid. He's going to act stupid. Did you know kids act stupid? They do. They act like you about half the time. Foolishness is bound in the heart of a child. What's going to take it? What's going to take that foolishness out? The rod of correction. You know, you have to have more patience than your child. You have to have more willpower than your child. You have to have more determination than your child. And woe be to you if your child is stronger willed than you. I was teaching school one year and had a great big old boy in my class. He's as big as I was in the 9th grade. Wore a motorcycle chain around his waist, you know, had tattoos on his arm. Long hair, tough type, Pachuco style. Had a lot of trouble with him, called his daddy up to talk to him. His daddy was a little bitty man. Don't know how he had that boy, but he did. Might have a big mama. Yeah. At any rate, he told me, he said, you know, I can't control him. And I just really hurt all of him. Can't control him. You couldn't control him when he was this small. Well, I get it. Now he's 15, 16 now. He's about 210, about 6 foot. Yeah, you can't control him now. You're about 5'6". In one sense, you can. He said, yeah, the other day he told me I'd get him a keg of beer for him and his friends. If I didn't get it, he'd beat me up. He said, so I got him a keg of beer. He said, what have you done? He said, I shot him in the knee. And if he beat me up, I'd shoot him in the other knee. You know what my kids knew about me? I'm mean enough to do it. I'm mean enough to win. You won't win. You will, I don't care if you're this high, kiddo, you won't win. I will make sure you do not win. When it gets this big, I let him know real plain, you will not win. I don't care what you make it cost me, you will not win. I will see to it, you lose. It's going to cost you this big. And I can just see the day one of my kids beats me up for me to get him a keg of beer. I can just see the day he threatens to shoot me or whip me. Oh, man. Foolishness is bound in the heart of a child. Don't let it grow there. If they don't understand something, that's one thing. Make sure they understand. But rebellion? Open rebellion? You cannot let them win. You cannot afford to let them get away with it. I taught my children, I did my best to teach them, be sure your sins will find you out. Whatever you do, you're going to pay for it. You know what? I personally believe that. I don't believe I get away. That you may get away. I'm not going to say about you. But here's what I believe about old Lindsay Pinkett. I belong to the Lord Jesus Christ. I believe if I go out and mess around, I believe God, I don't care how quiet I am. I don't care how secret I get it. I don't care whatever I do. God's going to pull a sheet back on me at midday, halftime of the Rose Bowl game. National television. I don't stand a chance. And you know, I told my children, because you belong to me, and because you belong to the Lord, you will not get away with your sin. And if I have anything to do with it, as long as I can, I'm going to make you pay here. And sometimes I tell my children, you know, I don't really know what to do to you, so let me think about it for 3 or 4 days. That's one of the worst parts of me ever had. Because they know I'm just mean enough, I'm going to think about it for a while. And I'm determined enough, I'm not going to forget it. I'm not going to forget it. I'm not going to walk away from it. I'm not going to ignore it. That's my job. The buck stops here. And I'm going to see to it, but I'm going to do my best. When I meet God, I don't want God saying, you didn't do right. If my kids turn out like the devil, I want it to be said, you lived before them, and you did your best to train them right. You followed the book as best you could. What are they going to say about you? Well, he said, foolishness is bound in the heart of a child, but the rod of correction shall drive it far from him. Look over at chapter 23, verses 13 and 14. Withhold not correction from the child, for if thou beatest him with a rod, he shall not die. Thou shalt beat him with a rod and shall deliver his soul from hell. He said, now wait a minute, preacher. That's very strong language. Isn't that a beautiful thing? You know what? If you don't whip your child, if you don't correct your child, if you don't bring your child into correction and train him right, he's going to go wild and probably go to hell. Because if he doesn't obey you and doesn't respect you, he probably won't obey God and respect God. If he doesn't obey your God and the book that you serve right here while you're there, you don't teach him that, then the chances are, my friend, he's not going to believe that book when he's 35 or 40. Don't withhold your correction. Don't back off and say, I'm just not going to see it. I'm just going to ignore it. Yeah, but what if they're going to think I'm unfair? Well, I'm treating this one unfair. I'm treating that. Oh, get off my back. Do the best you can do. Nobody's perfect. But do the best. Don't give up. Do the best you can do. You just keep on going. When they wear you out, you just get some more strength and keep on going. Have a little bit of stick'em and guts and fight. You know, I'm thankful for a little bit of athletics. You know, some of those coaches taught you some things. Game's not over till the last bell, you know. Fight's not over till somebody quits getting up. You know, that other team, they may be big, but they put their pants on one leg at a time. You know that's the truth? It's just like you. And they've got a breaking point just like you do. Maybe you need to build some character and build your will. Or you train that child. Take the foolishness out. Don't withhold the correction. You've got correction, keep correcting. That's tiresome. Some of you that don't have kids and you say, oh, I sure wish I had kids. Why don't you stay with dogs? You won't harm the world so much. Just get you about 17 dogs. They'll give you plenty to do all the rest of your life. You can love little dogs and play with little dogs, but you won't turn a little monster loose on the world because it is a lot of work. Raising kids isn't fun. It's hard work. It brings great reward, but it is hard work. And it takes some determination to do it right. Thou shalt beat him with a rod and shalt deliver his soul from hell. Turn over Proverbs 29:15. The rod and reproof give wisdom. The rod by itself doesn't. Get it out of your head that if you beat him with a stick, he's going to get wisdom all of a sudden up in his head. It doesn't work that way. The rod and reproof give wisdom. But a child left to himself, self bringeth his mother to shame. Oh, they're all ashamed mothers today. Because they didn't raise their children. Some of them don't have much chance. They're divorced. They're working two jobs just to put food on the table. And the kids are raising themselves. That's a sign of our time. It's one of the problems of our time. The divorce and the remarriage rate and the yours, mine, and ours situation and nobody's. A lot of problems out there, man. There's kids literally raising themselves. They have no father. They have no mother. They have no parents. They don't have anybody to teach them. Bring their mother to shame. The rod and reproof give wisdom. I don't know how many times I've taken my children in when I was going to spank them and got out on the bed beside them and said, look, this is what I'm doing. I don't really want to do this. It hurts me. I tell them the same thing my daddy told me. It hurts me more than it hurts you. And they say, ha, ha, ha. But it's the truth. I don't know how many times I've gone and said, look, this is why I'm spanking. Do you know why I'm spanking? You know why I've got to do what I'm doing? Yeah, I don't know what you got to do. And then I do it. And there are times I've been wrong. And I find out after the spanking, hey, big deal. I'm already spanked. You know what I do? I go back in there and I say, look, I was wrong. I made a mistake. Forgive me. I failed you as a father. I failed you in my wisdom. I can't take the spanking back. It won't do you any good to beat me. Forgive me. Might make them feel good, though. Let me tell you something. If a child is left to himself, to his own raising, to his own wisdom, to his own will, what's he going to end up as? Not very wise. I just haven't seen many wise children. Somehow hair and brains don't grow in the same head. All that fertilizer makes all that hair come out. Somehow it holds out the wisdom. It just takes some time and experience. You know why God gave children to older people? You know why he did that? So that you'd have enough sense to tell them the knife cuts and the fire burns. And don't do that. Don't steal. Don't lie. Don't cheat. And don't go out there and sleep with little boys. And don't go out there and sleep with little girls. Don't go out there and take drugs. Don't get drunk. Don't talk that way. He gave you some wisdom to give them some help and try to get them up without making too many mistakes. They'll bring you to shame. And it's a shame to you if you don't raise your children. Look at verse 17, same chapter. 29:17. Correct thy son, he shall give thee rest. Yea, he shall give the light unto thy soul. Let me tell you what he'll do if you don't correct him. The Bible says he may go to hell. Says he may bring you to shame. He'll probably be a rebel. He'll have all sorts of trouble in life. He won't bring you any peace or any joy. Well, what happens if you correct him? Correct thy son, he shall give thee rest. Yea, he shall give delight unto thy soul. You train that child, you correct that child, you raise that child, you live before that child, you remind that child who the Lord is, and you live like that Lord is your Lord. You know what he'll do? He'll bring rest to your soul. He'll bring joy to your life. He'll bring peace into you. It'll be a great blessing in the life. That's a promise of God. Well, what mean these signs? What mean these stones? Money. And then prove it to them. Too many Christians today say, oh yes, we love God, but they live every day for how much more money they can get. It's not enough. Oh, there's a lot of people out there that found that out. Maybe you haven't found it out yet. There's a lot of people out there. Money is not enough. Don't care how much you got. You never have enough. Multi-millionaires, billionaires still trying to make more money. It doesn't even make sense to me. Looks like the game would lose all of its pleasure. It's not enough. You need to live so they understand it. Look at chapter 1 of 2 Timothy. 2 Timothy chapter 1 and verse 5. Faith comes from hearing, hearing by the word of God. Faith comes from faith. Faith comes from example. And faith many times follows a family line for those very reasons. 2 Timothy 1, 5. When I call to remembrance the unfaithful faith that is in thee, which first dwelt in thy grandmother Lois and thy mother Eunice, and I am persuaded that in thee also. Where'd that faith come from? A grandmother that believed. What'd she do? She won her daughter. Got a daughter that believed. That's the mother of Timothy. Where'd Timothy get it? Paul give it to him? No. He got it from his mother and from his grandmother. Praise God for Christian grandmothers. Praise God for Christian mothers. Praise God for Christian women that pray over their babies and read the Bible to their babies and sing Bible stories and Bible songs to the children and teach their children up on Bible for Little Eyes and other books like that that have a Bible story. Raise them on Bible stories. Raise them in Sunday school. Take them faithfully. Praise God for a godly heritage of faith. I thank God I had a mother and daddy that believed. I thank God for that. Well, look at 2 Timothy 3 and 15. Again, at that from a child, thou hast known the Holy Scriptures, which are able to make thee wise unto salvation through faith which is in Christ Jesus. From a child, thou hast known the Holy Scriptures. How young do you teach it to them? Just as soon as they can talk. As soon as they can memorize their address, you let them memorize God's address. As soon as they can talk to you, teach them how to pray. From a child, thou hast known the Holy Scriptures. What, Timothy? Your grandmother was teaching you. What, Timothy? Your mother was teaching you. What, Timothy? From a child, you've known the Holy Scriptures. Praise God. What a blessing. From a child. That's what... Teach it to your children. What mean these stones? Teach it to your children. What mean these signs? Teach it to your children. You go out and win the whole world of Christ and you miss your family, you're going to be a miserable old man. Let me tell you, I've known a few. Let's go back to Abraham. Abraham had some sons. We're going to go back to Genesis chapter 17. Sarah was Abraham's wife and she was barren for many number of years until she ceased to have a productive womb. She didn't see any hope of ever producing any children. Abraham didn't either. So Sarah said, I've got this Egyptian woman. We'll make her your concubine. It's more like a slave wife. The children were legal. And said, you go in unto Hagar and bear a child by her. Well, Abraham took Hagar as a second wife and she bore a son, Ishmael. Now Abraham had a son he loved very much. Can you imagine a man, 87 years old, as his first son out of his own loins? That son was a hunting son, and a fishing son, and a working son, and a pleasure. Ishmael turns 13. God comes to Abraham and says, now Sarah's going to have a son. The promise is going to be through Sarah. Can you listen to Abraham as he makes this statement? Verse 18, 17.
Abraham said unto God, oh, that Ishmael might live before you.
Ishmael might not have been Seth's son,
but Ishmael was ever been Abraham's son.
Ishmael wasn't the son of the promise. Ishmael wasn't the miracle son.
Oh, he was Abraham's son.
I don't know about you and your family, but I don't have a son I could give up. I don't have a daughter I could just say, well, that one put her aside. I don't have anybody like that. I don't know about your family. I know about me.
God,
oh Lord, let Ishmael live before you. Lord, Ishmael's my son. Lord, I love Ishmael. Lord, I'm proud of Ishmael. Lord, let Ishmael live before thee.
Oh, you think about the crying and the tears and the burden of a father.
Verse 20 says, verse 19, and God said, Sarah, thy wife, shall bear thee a son indeed, and thou shalt call his name Isaac. He's named before he's born, before he's conceived. I will establish my covenant with him for an everlasting covenant, and with his seed after him. And as for Ishmael, I have heard thee. Praise God. Behold, I've blessed him. I will make him fruitful, multiply him exceedingly. 12 princes shall he beget, and I'll make him a great nation. But my covenant will I establish with Isaac. God hears and answers prayers of his faithful servant. I want to read you some verses about Ishmael, because Ishmael is Abraham's first son. Abraham said unto God, oh, that Ishmael might live before thee. And in 17:20, he said, I have heard thee concerning Ishmael. I'm going to bless him. I'm going to make him a great nation. I want you to listen. I'm not going to teach you about Ishmael so much, but I want you to look at 21:20. I want to show you a few verses about him, then I'll leave him. 21:20, and God was with the lad, and he grew and dwelt in wilderness and became an archer. God made Abraham send Ishmael away and keep Isaac. Boy, it's a hard statement. When I read that, I say, I don't understand that. When I look at it myself, I say, oh, my heart goes out to Abraham. My heart goes out to Hagar. My heart goes out to Ishmael. I say, wow. That just hurts me all over. But I see that 13-year-old boy out there in the wilderness. Everything seems to be gone from him. And what does God say? God was with the lad, and he grew and dwelt in the wilderness, became an archer. He became a great man. Look at Genesis 25:9. And his sons, Ishmael, Isaac and Ishmael, buried him in the cave of Machpelah. When it came time at 175 years, 115, 175 years, Abraham dies, his sons, Ishmael and Isaac, buried. They were still around. They knew each other. They both still had contact with their dad. And they were close enough to bury them. Doesn't tell about the other sons. The sons by Keturah. But Ishmael and Isaac are still there. And then it says in 25:12, now these are the generations of Ishmael, Abraham's son. What did he say about Abraham? Why in the world did I pick Abraham to start with? Because he'll command his sons. They'll obey. Ishmael became a great man. Ishmael became a head of a whole tribe. In fact, all those Arab nations over there come out of Ishmael. Those multiplied millions are Ishmaelites. They can trace their heritage back to Abraham's son. All those Muslims. But look at the other son, Isaac. Look back at 21:5. Abraham was 100 years old when his son Isaac was born unto him. 100 years old. I think how hard it is for me, and Susie is, well, we were about 37 years old when Susie was born to us. In our generation, in this day and age, that's pretty old. A lot of people quit having them when they're 25. Some people decide not to have them until they're 35. We got a couple of surprises after we were 30. They've been great blessings to us, but they were surprises. We were like everybody else. We didn't know how much blessing they're going to be. But I'm telling you, sometimes I get to feeling tired. I'm not sure whether they make me young or keep me old. I don't know whether I'm getting old faster because I'm still working on cars for girls. I'm still going down to school and talking about school problems, you know. I'm paying for college. I'm doing all sorts of things. I'm still doing it. All of my friends are through. And I'm still there. I'm not too sure whether it makes me young or old. I haven't figured that one out yet. But can you imagine how this man at 100 years old loved that boy Isaac? How easy it is for me to spoil him now, how much easier it is for me to spoil him when I was 20? When I was 20, toe the line, I'm going to make you perfect, boy. Now then, foolishness is bound in the heart of a child. I know it. There's a difference. I did a lot of things different. I think about this man coming down to 100 years, and here's his child, a predicted child, a prophesied child, a pre-named child, a miracle child, not because of Abraham. Abraham's body was not dead, don't care what you think. He had children by Hagar. He had children by Keturah. Sarah's bodies were the miracle took place, not Abraham. You know something? A miracle child. God opens the womb of that barren woman to give one child, which is the type of Christ. You think what he didn't think about this child? God's already told him. Your covenant's through this child. God's already told him. Your blessing's coming through this child. Oh, he loved that kid. I'll tell you what. Look, if you will, over at chapter 22:2. It came to pass after these things that God did tempt Abraham and said unto him, Abraham, he said, behold, here I am. He said, take now thy son, thy only son Isaac, whom thou lovest, and get thee into the land of Moriah and offer him there for a burnt offering upon one of the mountains which I will tell you. And Abraham arose up, took Isaac, and clave the wood for a burnt offering. I want you to think about how God did taste Abraham. He takes his first son, Ishmael, moves him away. He gives him another son 13 years later, says, this is the son of the promise, this is the son of the covenant. And then he comes to him, and this boy is about 25 years old, and tells him, now you take it. You're taking to Mount Moriah, over there where that temple is right now, where the temple of the Jews used to be and where the Mosque of Omar is right now. You take him over there, you take him up where I'm going to tell you, and you offer him for a sacrifice. And you know, I don't know what went through Abraham's mind. All I know is what's written. And Abraham rose up and did what God told him to do. Over in the book of Hebrews it tells us, Abraham believed that even if he slew him, God was able to raise him from the dead. That's where he's taken. What about this son Isaac? I want you to think about the type of Christ. Think of the obedience in this son Isaac. This son Isaac is so obedient at about 20, 25 years old when his daddy's probably 125. He submits to him, goes with him, allows his father to tie him up and lay him on the sacrificial table. Then a little bit later on, when Isaac is 40, he sends his servant to get a Gentile bride. Not really, but a bride out of the world for Isaac. He's 40 years old, lets his daddy pick his wife. You talk about faith. Hey, some of you do real well if you let your daddy pick your wife. Probably do better than you can with you picking. Amen. Oh, me. Whatever. Woo! Get yourself in all sorts of trouble today, wouldn't it? You talk about obedience. You talk about a type of Christ. Christ went to the sacrifice, let his father slay him. Oh, yeah. He's offered upon the cross of Calvary to pay for the sins of mankind. He is the Lamb of God that takes away the sin of the world. You talk about trust. The Holy Spirit is right now in the world gathering a bride for his son. Amen. You think Isaac's not a type of Christ? Abraham's a type of God the Father, and Isaac's a type of Christ. Well, the Bible calls God the God of Isaac 13 times. You talk about a blessing. How about the Bible referring to you and your God, God of living? Huh? The God of Brian. This book records the God of Isaac 13 times. What about Abraham? He'll raise his sons. He'll raise his sons to obey him. I tell you what, can I keep this thing from Abraham? No, I can't keep it from him. Why is that? For I know him. He will command his children and his household after him. They shall keep the way of the Lord. That's Abraham. I wonder what's going to be said about you and me. I wonder what's going to be said about it. Will we raise our children to the point they'll live? Or will God have to look somewhere else to find his preachers, his missionaries, his teachers, his lovers, his church? God will have his way. God will have his way. Train up a child in the way he should go. What mean these signs, Daddy? What mean these signs? What mean these stones? Teach them thy sons and thy sons. Train up a child in the way he should go. When he's old, he'll not depart. Amen.